your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians, in chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse by verse. When we get done with this, we're going to start right back where I started. First come here and started teaching, we're going back to war. We're at war. And we're going to look at a lot of these things over again and try to bring them back to our memories and study more and look for the Bible more and try to get some more strength, try to get some more encouragement, get some more compassion, get some burden. I pray. But we're going to be looking this morning in the book of Philippians. I'm trying to get there. I feel a little emotional. Pray for me. Emotions don't mean nothing. Word of God's true. You can't trust the emotions. They up and down, in and out. I watched a couple things on some news magazines this past week. One thing really kind of spoke to me is, we all know Larry King's off the wall nut job, but I've listened to something he said, and some ways he's smarter than a lot of people claim to be saved. He spoke one thing. He said, "Believing is not faith." He said, "I believe a lot of things." "I don't have no faith." And somebody asked him, "So when did you lose it?" He said, "Well, I lost having any faith that there was a God when speaking to religious leaders." Talk about men that were supposed to be standing in, to give people faith. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, isn't it? Edifying, building up in the faith. And I thought of this verse. It says, the Bible said to be ready to give an answer for the faith that's in us. And these men had nothing to give him. He asked, I'm sure, some hard questions. Probably about suffering. That's a hard question to a lot of people. And it's because they don't know the Word of God. It's a gift. The majority of the church don't know that. They don't know that suffering's a gift. God don't give it just to anybody. He gives it to His choice servants. Now, we're all going to suffer some. But God's got people He picks to suffer and go through some things, to build them and make them and strengthen them. I can't answer. Nobody can really answer this. There's a lot of people try to about the fall of man, God in His omniscience, why He created man to fall. You can't say that God didn't know it if He's God. He knew when He made it. When He made it, Lucifer, He knew. He knew. He knew he was going to become Satan. He knew he was going to draw in. Yeah. You either believe God's God or you believe He's somebody that's taken by surprise. So you got. I can't answer these questions. Can you? I'm not God. But I do know this. God is teaching me some things about this. One thing. See, that was something that bothered me, too. I'm going to be honest with you. And I had the same feeling. I say, you think you know what's right and wrong. And I remember asking people in churches about these matters. I said, you mean to say God made man knowing that they were going to perish in a lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? God knows me. I'm just being like, God knows me. Why should I lie? I didn't like it. 1984, I saw some things. I saw that God, despite all this, I believe with all my heart, God still loves the devil. He'll love him for what he is. That he's his creation. I also don't believe that the moment he made the wrong decision, it damned him forever. I don't believe that. I think he won't repent. I don't think that he can't repent. Most people teach it that he can't. I don't believe that. I believe he won't. I believe Jesus Christ, there in the garden, when Judas come and kissed him upon his cheek. This is what I believe. I don't mean I'm right. I don't know. I ain't got all the answers. Maybe you do. You straighten me out later. Okay, I'll sit down and listen to anything you guys say. Probably when Judas come and kissed him on the cheek, and Jesus knew exactly who he was talking to, Brother Rick. He knew that he was indwelled by the devil. He knew it was who it was that come and kissed him on the cheek. Now, I believe he looked around and said, "Wherefore art thou come, friend?" I think he reached out to him one more time. I'll do it. Well, I'm right or I'm wrong. That's really why I'm not for this "let's kick the devil" kind of stuff. I pity him. And I don't want to get involved, because I'm telling you, I've been there. Man, I hate the devil. Kick the devil. Stop the devil. The Bible says, "Wherein we judge another man's servant." We ain't got a right to do that. He's God's servant. He's that wicked servant. Yes, he's God's servant. Not our place to stand in judgment of him. It's our place to judge ourselves. And in 1984, God saved me, and I saw the price he was willing to pay, not willing that any should perish. Even though I couldn't understand, couldn't explain everything, the bottom line was, we have to. And nobody can say they didn't have opportunity. So if God cares more about them than they do their own selves. He's not willing. That's not his will. I saw he did everything he could possibly do and still let us be free will agent. I can't explain that. I don't understand all that. But I do know this. I can look at somebody right now and say, you've been everything that God has made, he wants to give it to you. He's already gave you his son. If he's willing to give you his own son. And I'm crazy. That people, this world, I know I'm crazy. It's okay. I know, but this world don't understand what Jesus did. And I'm afraid the church doesn't. We don't really understand the cross of Calvary. I believe the eternal Son of God hung on the cross in eternity and paid the entire debt, the entire weight. Took it off. I can't explain that. But God's God. He's mighty. He suffered the wrath of God. This stuff we call, man, we want to talk about the whipping post and everything that man did to him. That's what we saw. That's what man did to him. But that wasn't suffering for the sin. That was a sin that we did unto him. But God poured his wrath out upon his son for everything that we did wrong. A man doesn't believe that we deserve hell don't know himself. You ever get a good look at yourself, you'll say, off it is. We'll get into our lesson now. But it's sad that nobody is ready to give you. We're so ignorant of the Word of God. We're so ignorant today that we are not being any help to the large part of this country. It's a sad thing when the church, instead of being a stepping stone, is a stumbling block to this world. We need to lay ourselves down, be willing, be by people. Well, you ain't supposed to let this world walk over you. No, but I tell you what, I would rather be. I'd rather them to step on my back and walk over me toward Jesus Christ than I would be sticking up to trip them up for them to fall off into a lake of fire. And it'd be because of my arrogance, my pride, you know, and why you ain't talking to me like that. Jesus opened not his mouth. They accused him of everything, did they not? Called him a bastard. I've been called that. Well, they meant it, too. It was just a curse word. Right here, we looked up how that, we looked at here in Philippians is about unity. And I'm going to tell you, the only unity we're going to find in our church is going to be found around the cross of Calvary. That's the only place it's going to be found. That means you got to die. There's going to be unity. We all got to die. We got to die to self, die to this world, die to the flesh. We got to die. And then we got to yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is giving them some encouraging words. Very encouraging words. I'm going ahead and read again, starting in verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy. I asked two questions last week. One is, do you thank God when you remember the membership around here? Do you thank God upon every remembrance of your brothers and sisters? And do you make requests with joy? Or is prayer drudgery? And for your fellowship in the gospel. And that's where our fellowship ought to be. It should not be in, it should not be, I go to work this past week and, you know, and they're talking about, you know, the NBA championships and, you know, and this, that. Their fellowship is in sports. And they fellowship around sports, and they fellowship around work, and they fellowship around fishing, and they fellowship around cooking, and they fellowship about everything you can imagine other than Jesus Christ. And I don't want to come here and it be the same doggone thing. I don't want to come up in church and where I'm hoping to be able to fellowship in the things of God and the Word of God, and everybody want to talk about everything else. I get that all week. I mean, I got to work to make an opportunity, you know, to praise God. I got one fellow there in my work that we do from time to time get a chance to do that. I got other people I believe that are saved, and you know what they're at? They are mully grub. I mean, they're down. They, you know, the church ain't what it ought to be. And buddy, they made up their mind. So I'm not going to be what I'm going to be what I want to be. And I looked at the little boy. I said, "When's the last time? You really went to church and gave yourself into it? When's the last time?" He couldn't remember. He said, "Well, when's the last time, church?" I said, "You got to work with what you got, buddy, just like here." And if everybody takes that attitude, where are we going? ain't going nowhere. Start doing some of these things and some changes might take place in you and in me. That's the reason why I mention what I did in prayer, because I read these things and it convicts me. I've been asking God for 10 years. I said, Lord, I want to sit in church services where I'm convicted, where I'm not comfortable. If you're comfortable every week when you come to church, something ain't right. Somebody ain't doing something. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody has said, let's go. I can't wait to get to the hospital and have them do an operation on me and cut this out and cut that out. I just can't wait for them to open me up and slice me and dice me. Nobody wants that. But I'm going to tell you, that's what ought to be happening in church. The Word of God is sharp and it's ought to be cutting. Why? Because we got cancers in us that need to be cut out. And then on top of that, God's going to take some salt and pour it in the wound. Huh? You know how you pour salt? You know how you put a salt in the wound? Kill. Kill any bacteria and stuff. It's a preservative. And if, I'm going to tell you something. And if the salt has lost its savor, what's it fit for? Throw it out on it. Throw it out down through there to kill the grass. That's all it's good for. Make a path. That's what the Bible says. Salt to be trodden underfoot of men. And we wonder why the church is being trodden under. Old boy asked me one time, he said, don't it bother you? You see all these preachers falling and going, no, it encourages me. He goes, let me know what the Bible says is true. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He also said, if they are a minister, that he would disclose what they're doing. That already excites you. I said, I don't discourage me. It encourages me that God will keep his word. Don't make me happy. But I ain't going to do like a lot of people did, you know, start name calling and making fun. Time to start praying. You say, yeah, but they're not our kind. So what? We were all the same kind. Golly, I never forget. Preacher Cox up here talking about a preacher that the church said they would, if he came, they wouldn't come out to meet. He told us that. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, our church ain't been the same since then either. He said, God didn't like it. You know what they said? He's not our kind. He's not like it. No, he wasn't exactly like it. We were watch what we do and what we say. We are to give thanks. If they profess Jesus Christ as their Savior and they got right doctrine far as salvation and Jesus Christ and they're glorifying and magnifying Him, then we ought to care about them and pray for them when they're in trouble.
Amen.
God warned me of that yesterday again. I made a little comment in myself and God said, oh, You want to come on you? I said, I'm sorry. I understand. Please pray for me. I'm about to fall apart. For your fellowship in the gospel from first day into now, being confident of this very thing, that he, praise God for this verse, amen. Or shout over this verse, amen. Being confident, God wants us to be confident. A lot of people, they're not very confident. I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder how many the Bible spoke of Jesus Christ. He's spoken to them, not as the scribes and Pharisees, but of one having authority. You know God has given us authority in this world? And we need to speak confidently about the gospel. Sure of the Word of God. Well, I hear this all the time. You know, people just ain't going to hear today. Hey, my Bible says that the Word of God shall not return void. It will accomplish what I please. The problem is, we reap little because we sow little. There's where the problem. Let that Bible judge us. Instead of sitting there trying to judge this world and what they're going to do. If you're sowing little, expect to reap little. Ain't no need of sitting there, you know, trying to blame it on everything else. Country's going to hell. It's always going to hell. It's produced by the God in this world. God is here right now in His church reaching out to a world that's going to hell. Study your history. You think this was a godly nation ever? You think that our leaders were a bunch of godly men? You ain't seen what a lot of them were doing. A lot of people like to talk about Lincoln. Lincoln sought out, he did the same thing Saul did. He went and sought out witches. Open knowledge. Proof of it. Got it. Helped put together the Constitution. He had women on the side. I don't know how many. Hey, what are you saying? I'm simply saying that it doesn't matter. You can sit there and blame it on the world going to the devil if you want to. You think it's worse now than it was when Apostle Paul walked into Corinth and he had them women walk around. They had them sandals that said, "Hey, follow me for a good time." They walked down. They did. That's basically what it was saying. It would be right there in the sand showing that these were temple prostitutes, and if you just follow me and we'll take the money and we'll put it in, you know, to church offering. Ain't much different than this woman that said that she was stripping for Jesus. I get the men looking and I tell them about the Lord. I mean, that same kind of stuff been going on forever. Yeah, I know. It was really, things were really right when Jesus showed up, wasn't it? The only nation that was supposed to be righteous had turned away from God. They were dead in trespasses and sins. That's a sorry excuse for not doing nothing, is all I got to say. You reckon you can walk down the street and find people that are a whole lot worse than the men that Brother Rick and those workers there with Rock of Ages fighting down there in the prisons? I've seen the Word of God break them down. I'm not saying they all got saved, but all I know is, buddy, it broke them down. With tears. Sorry excuse. Oh, it's last days. It's always been last days. Since Jesus came. The last days are here. You say, what's the last of the last days? Well, when's it going to be over with? Anybody know? Your lifetime? Your children's lifetime? Your grandchildren will have time. Who knows? I thought it had already been over with. How many of y'all thought that? How many of you really thought or expect Jesus to come about 15, 20 years ago? I mean, honestly. Huh? I don't know when he's coming. We need to dig in and do, keep the main thing, hey, which is bringing glory to God through our testimony and witnessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Instead of mother grubbing about how bad everything is. They won't let you do nothing anymore. If you ain't doing nothing, it ain't because they ain't letting you. I'll tell you why he ain't letting you. It's right in between your ears right here. You got other things going on that's more important.
True.
We'll pray in a minute. Even as meet for me to think this of you all, for me to think this is because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Now, that's what it was like during Paul's time. You sat there and you began to talk about this new religion, as they called it, which was faith in Christ Jesus. But they were taking you and they were arresting you and throwing you in jail. And Paul spent about as much time in jail as he did. He's probably spent about as much time in jail as you did, Brother Ed. He had a prison ministry for sure. Mm-hmm. Huh? The thing of it is, though, have they taken rods and beat you when you went in there? Huh? We know the account of Paul. We know how he suffered. We know how he was beaten, whipped, stoned, kicked, cussed. Everything that happened to it. But it's bad now. And in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. What are you saying? Amen. He said, the things that God is doing in my life, I do not deserve. He's being good to me. Yeah, I've been beat with rods. Yeah, I've been whipped. Yeah, I've been shipwrecked. Yeah, I've been cussed. Yeah, I've been wrongfully imprisoned. Yes, I've had all these things. But you know what? He said, hey, the things I had before, he said, that was done. He said, oh, I used to have a place. I had a position. I had respect. I had people thought I was something. Now they think I'm dirt. But praise God. He said, I kept him up, things. He said, that's just done. But now I got something. I got the grace of God in my life. And you're partakers of that. Somebody shout.
Yeah.
Huh? Glory to God. And you ain't even got to get whipped. You haven't been spit on and cursed. Oh, I've had a few things happen to me. I had a guy pull a gun on me a couple times. Waved it around. He'd stick it at me. At least he didn't hammer it back. At least he didn't hammer up my ribs or something like that. You know, he could have. Could have hit me in the face. Could have shot me, but he didn't. You know, back then, that encouraged me. Nowadays, I try to avoid that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm telling you, I want prayer. I had people tell me, said, man, you're in the wrong end of town for this time of night. Huh? I said, no, I'm right where God wants me. But right down the road, we had four or five crying out to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. What do you approve of? What is it that you approve of? What is it that your life says, it meets my approval? What meets your approval in your television set? What meets your approval in your reading? What meets your approval in the life you live? In your conversation? I'm talking about with your lips now. I'm not talking about your behavior. But in your behavior as well. What is it that meets our approval? But he said, approve things that are excellent. I read that, and buddy, God broke me down when I read that. I started looking at some of the things. I said, you know what? That ain't too excellent. Things that I allow. That's what we approve of, the things that we allow.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Boy, ain't these words, man, they big, ain't they? Huh? We ain't got far. Takers of my grace, with God of my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. This I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Take your Bibles. I can't. I got to read this. It's over in the book of Ephesians. It's over in Ephesians chapter. Oh, there you go. Something wrong. Yeah. Chapter 3. Look at verse 16. For he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You know what's going to ground us into this work of God, this thing that God, it's the love of God. For God is love. Love is taking a bad beating lately in our pulpits. I know love, I know some people are making light of it, but I'm going to tell you what. I would rather be thinking that I want the love of God in my heart than anything else. I've heard preachers get up there before they just start hammering down on something, you know, about something worldly or something. And they say, now back to the love of God. Like the preaching of the love of God is soft, something. Full. You don't get a harder preaching than love. God so loved the world. Huh? God commendeth his love toward us. That word commendeth means to demonstrate his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. You think your little separation of having a coat and tie and a shirt and polished shoes and, you know what I mean, dressing right haircut, you think that even comes close to comparing, hey, with having the love of God in your heart? You think that's biblical separation? Hey, look at the Pharisees. They had all of that then. Boy, they were straight laced, buddy.
Yeah.
You had to dress a certain way, act a certain way, walk a certain way, talk a certain way. And, but if you did, the brethren be on you, boy. Straighten you out. We'll disfellowship you. Drinking with publicans, harlots, and, boy, talking to them. What do you mean talk? You shouldn't even talk to those people. What they did, they walked by them like they didn't even exist. Buddy, that's what a lot of the church is doing today, too.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Jesus asked that fella. He said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. There's so much landscape. There's just so much of the landscape. With the God, something would break on us that the pews would get wet again. People could see people perishing one more time. Being filled, excuse me. Let me go back over here. I ain't finished reading. I want to look. This is good. I mean, this is really good to me. I don't know about you, but it's good to me. Strengthened with all might, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able. When we first started looking at this thing about warfare, we looked at that, being able. Being able to make a good warfare. And this is one of the things that will make us able right here. That Christ may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That's exciting to me. Sang that song about love, and boy, said, man, if you took all the stalks and made quills out of them, and all the oceans was ink, and all the heavens was a scroll, and you couldn't write down that love of God. That guy knew a little bit about what he was talking about. It wouldn't be enough. Wouldn't be enough ink in the oceans. It wouldn't be enough quills. There wouldn't be enough heavens. And it's without end. Heavens is without end. It's just like God. It's without end. It's boundless. You know?
Yes.
That's what His love is. He said that you might know this that passes knowledge. He said, there's the love of God you can't know. He said, but I want you to know it. Just like I do. Did you get what I just said? Is that ringing out in you a little bit? Say, do you have that? You get up in the morning, you think about, man, look at my love of God being boundless, deep, ever, far out as you can reach. You don't have to worry about running out of it. The height, depth, length, breadth. It is beyond us knowing, but God said, I want you to know it. How are you going to know it? You're going to know it through Him. God knows it. Men can't figure it out. But God can put something inside of you that says, I understand. I've heard people tell me before, and they say, I don't understand how God loves me. I do understand.
Amen.
Because He is love. He ain't got nothing to do with me. It's who He is. I understand that. God could take His love and put little sorry carpets like me in that. We love people. It'd be broken full. Can't figure that out. It took God. It took a miracle. It took Calvary. Hallelujah. And why in the world, Brother Rick? I don't understand it. Well, I wouldn't come at that more than anything I could think of. I don't understand. I get caught up in so much of this junk in this world. God, and that all that belongs to me. Jesus said, he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. What are we hungering for? Next week, I want you to look on this chapter some. Over here in Philippians chapter 1. I want you to look at this thing about the fruits of righteousness. He's our righteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one, among men, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only righteous man that ever lived. And that you might be filled with the fruits of His righteousness. That you should understand, brethren, the things that happened to me.
I would like to have been there when Larry King was saying that. He said, you understand the only righteous one that's ever lived.
wants you to understand